Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is May 8th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motive Vitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotiveVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years' worth of archives. Definitely love having you guys on live, though. It always makes for a much more interesting conversation. I think today is going to be a fun one. We sometimes come on a couple minutes early and have a little conversation. And I was talking to Scott. So Scott, I'm interested in doing that. But before that, I want to just mention that next week, please set your calendars. Please make every effort to be here and tell your friends. This is actually one of my favorite times of the year when. Usually every year after a couple weeks after the WQA convention, for the last 10 years, I've had the honor of speaking with the immediate past presidents of WQA to sort of discuss their tenure and what they did and, the job and where they see. So next week we have as a special guest Judd Learned, who is president of Culligan, but also the immediate past president of the Water Quality Association, who is joining us on as a guest. So please prepare for that and come on and welcome Judd next week. So that's pretty exciting. Also have working on that. I saw a speaker at WQA from Morton Salt that did some really great science stuff, some testing and talked a lot about different salts and the impact on iron out salt and bridging and a bunch of stuff like that. So I'm working on, we've been going back and forth and trying to pick a date. So that's coming up here in the coming weeks as well. So that one's going to be kind of fun as well. So I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, except when we have a guest speaker, by the way, by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with. Any questions you might have? Would I have anything? Well, then let's jump right into our topic, because I think it's going to be kind of an interesting one. So we're going to talk about plumbing assessments, plumbing analysis today, and let me explain to you what I mean by that term. Basically, this is a portion. I think a lot of times people skip entirely, and I think it's a mistake to skip it. We tend to focus so much on the water testing or the sink demonstration or talking to the customer, explaining all the equipment, that sometimes we don't do a thorough plumbing assessment. I'm going to explain to you the way I have done it, and then I'm going to ask if there are alternative opinions in different ways. I mean, my way of doing it is not always the right way, but I will explain to you the order. So when I'm teaching sales professionals, I break down the entire presentation into three sections. Good evening, Mrs. Smith. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, really appreciate the opportunity to meet with you tonight. If it's okay with you, there are three things we're going to do. We're going to do a real quick plumbing assessment, take a look at where the water comes into the home, and see if you have equipment down there now. Then we'll come back up and do a thorough water analysis, and then I'll sit down and kind of explain to you how these things work and give you a couple recommendations and get out of your hair. It's a very condensed version of it, but I like to break it down into those three things: plumbing assessment, water analysis, recommendation. And it sort of creates a roadmap for the sales professional when they're in the home. Now, the reason I like to do a plumbing assessment first, there are a couple reasons that I like to do the plumbing assessment first. Number one, and probably the most practical reason, is that it has burnt me before to talk about price or to sell a piece of equipment or to do those things and then go down in the basement or look at where the plumbing comes in and see something that is going to have a significant additional cost. So I like to be able to do a plumbing assessment. You know, sometimes there's maybe not a place to drain. And so I can spend all my time making the sale, and I close the sale, and then I do a plumbing assessment after, or not at all. I mean, it's even worse, I think, not to do it at all. And the installer gets there and says, we're not going to be able to do a drain here. We're not going to be able to put this in, you know. That happens sometimes with the faucet on a sink, you know, where we put the reverse osmosis. So I want to know what type of problems I might run into in terms of an installation, and be able to address those. And then from a sales perspective, one of the biggest reasons I like to do a plumbing assessment first is because, you know, there's no doubt, I think, that we've talked about this on this call before, that customers, you can take me, I'm, you know, nearly three decades in this industry, a master water specialist, been out there doing this a really super long time, think I know quite a bit about the industry and how these things work and water and all of that. You take me and put me in Dockers in a button-up collared shirt and a clipboard with paperwork on it, you know, and clear in a test kit, clearly looking like a sales guy. And you take somebody that is brand new, has been in the industry for a month, put them in a service uniform, you know, an installer's uniform or a service tech's uniform, and who's the customer going to trust more? What do you guys think? Who would the customer feel more comfortable with?
Probably the service tech.
And salespeople have done that to ourselves, right? The sales profession has done that. But I've been writing with service techs, and I'll make a recommendation, and the customer will look over at this brand new service guy and go, "What do you think?" You know, it's like they you know, because they expect salespeople to tell them whatever they want. And so one of the reasons I like to do that plumbing assessment first is because during the sales presentation, during this opportunity to work with the customer, this is as close as I am going to be to looking like a service technician, which means that I can ask what I call the sensitive questions, right? Questions about about money, about how they're going to pay for it, about their budget. Those people tend to clam up and get defensive with those questions when you have your salesman hat on, especially if you're sitting around a table with a couple of brochures or you know you're going through the stuff, and so they tend to be a lot more open and willing to answer questions when you are doing what service people do, you know, doing the plumbing assessment, you're looking at where the pipe's coming in, looking at the drains. And so I just found that they're a lot more willing and open on answering those questions. Now,
can I interrupt you for 1 second, Kelly?
Absolutely.
It's Paul. I got to jump off in just a minute, unfortunately, but yeah. I just wanted to mention something that came to my mind, which is, you know, we just bought this new house, and like you, I've been doing this for a number of years, and I made a very, very basic assumption inaccurately that got me into a little bit of trouble, which was we're on a municipal supply, and I wrongly assumed that there was a main shutoff of the house somewhere after the water meter, and there was not. And something happened, and I needed to turn the water off, and I could not turn the water off. And I ended up I was lucky I was able to get a plumber out here within 10 minutes, and he had the gate key or whatever and could get down into the Christie box. I tried it with vice grips. I couldn't get leverage. My point is, I should have known. I should have checked and not assumed that there was a ball valve or a shutoff somewhere.
Yeah. So,
you know, when you're talking about
thank
the,
you, Paul. That's,
anyway,
I think
it's
a prime example. Yeah, thank you. It's great to hear your voice. That's a prime example of kind of, you know, why I do it the way I do it. Now, I understand that there may be an alternative view, And I would be very interested in hearing if there is anybody on the call. And I don't want to pinpoint or put anybody on the spot in particular, but, you know, if there were just one person out there that didn't do it first, that maybe, I don't know, did it last, I'd be really, really curious to know why.
I feel baited, Kelly.
Yeah, I totally set you up on that one, didn't I? So, I mean, it's wrong, but go on, Scott. Tell us why. No, I'm kidding, of course.
Well, so it's been an evolution over the years of how we do things. And yeah. When I first started, you know, we had an installation charge for, you know, if it's in the garage or if it's in the basement, we would have an installation charge if there was a crawl space, and then we would have an installation charge if there was a trench that would need to be done. And we would always do the site evaluation first, and then go in and do the presentation and, you know, pricing and financing. And a few years ago, we changed our pricing structure where our equipment includes equipment installation taxes, so it's the total price. So it doesn't matter where it's going to go because installation is included. And right. When we did that, you were able to go in and really focus on the water needs and what they've got going on and, you know, do the water test and do the sink demo. At the end, you're talking about, you know, equipment and, you know, you want to pay for it and financing. And you get to that logical, you know, point where, you know, you're going to ask for the sale. And, you know, you want to go forward and however you ask for it. And, you know, and it doesn't really matter to me what your answer is, you know, whether I want to think about it. I got to talk to my wife. I got to talk to Jesus. Whatever yeah. it is. And then immediately I said, okay, well, not a problem. And I send them the quote right there, create it, send it to them, contact information. They have the whole thing. Then the pressure is off on the sale because I've already given them the information. But then it's like, okay, well, we just need to do a site evaluation to where if you did something, where will it go? And so they already have the quote, they already have everything, or they've gone over the price and haven't quite made a decision. Then the pressure's off, and then as we walk around and do the site evaluation on the back end, then you get those questions where you're talking about, like where they clam up and where you're talking about that on the front end. Then the pressure's off. Then as you're doing the site evaluation, it's almost that old Zig Ziglar thing. It's like, you know, well, would you like to have it here or over here? And you get them to loosen up, and they're really envisioning like where they would get it, and that pressure's off. And then when we come through and I do the site evaluation, we know where it's going to go. And then as I'm packing up my kit, you know, just kind of like, you know, so what do you really think, you know, or what is going to talk to my wife? What do you think she's going to say? And then a lot of times you get those answers from, or the questions or answers from the customer that they never would have given you on the front end because they're so like tied up on the pressure of the close and the sale and all of that. And it has been really effective for us.
So you're doing something that I definitely agree with there. That is basically you're getting the price out of the way kind of early. So you're letting them know what it's going to cost them. And it, like you said, that takes the pressure. And so I'm a huge fan of getting that price out of the way, you know, talking about what it's going to cost early on. But have you, in the way you're doing it, have you ever run into a situation, I'm being sincere about the question because it may be that, you know, when you're walking up to the house, I mean, you're mostly on slabs and you, most of your installations are similar. And like you said, there's trenching or whatever, but have you ever run into a situation when you're doing the plumbing assessment that you realize this is going to take a lot longer than what a normal job would? I mean, at this point, you've already given them the price. And you know, do you guys just, is that just packaged in? I mean, you just assume that you just know that sometimes it's going to be, it's going to take longer and cost more?
Well, it depends. And so in certain situations, so standard installation is included. And for most situations, even trenches, like, you know, regardless of where it's going to go, it's going to include it. There are situations like maybe it's a slab and there's no garage, or it's on the wrong side of the driveway, where you might have to put it in a box to protect it where we're at from freezing, and then there would be an additional flood cost. But we've already done the water test. We've already done the sink demo. We want it. And if there is going to be an uncomfortable conversation about additional charge for an installation, you want to have that after I really, really want it. I find it more difficult to have that conversation on a difficult install on the front end than on the back end, because it will, in the moment where I want it and you've proven the value, it is not that uncomfortable of a conversation on the back end as it is on the front end, because they really don't even know kind of like what they want. It's not that bad on the back end, in my opinion.
Yeah.
What's everybody else think? Do you guys do it? Anybody in the middle? Anybody do it kind of in the middle of the presentation? I know that sounds strange, but you know, there are times that you can kind of do a combination. I know when I was in an area where there was a lot of arsenic, I would start at the sink, start the test for arsenic, because it took about 12 minutes to complete, then go do the plumbing assessment while the arsenic test was being done, and then come back up and finish the water analysis. But what's everybody else do? Or are you guys doing a plumbing assessment at all? You know, there are some companies I've seen where they just trust their installers to figure it out. They, you know, the salespeople just don't know anything about it, and they, you know, they just sell it. They just sell the job, and the installers really need to figure out what type of installation it's going to be. I strongly disagree with that. I feel like the cost associated with for the installers to walk in blind, and you know, the trips to the store. But there are companies I've seen that do that. What do you guys think?
We have the majority of my sales team have all been through the service department and the installation department. They understand what is necessary. It is required that they send us pictures, bring us pictures. Everything gets downloaded onto customer documents, and sales team has to discuss in the morning with the installers anything weird that they may run into. We do charge additionally for something outside of a standard install, which would include, you know, 10 feet of plumbing and some drain line. The scenarios are so different every single time. And I have one salesperson that has not been in the field that long. Every single order that comes in is reviewed by me, and I say yes or no, you know.
What order, Paul, you know, when as you're teaching your sales professionals, what order of and Scott, by the way, I just want to say I appreciate the alternative view. I know I was kind of joking with you a little bit there, but it's clearly working for you in the comfort level. So there's no right or wrong way here. I just want to point that out and make sure that we understand that. I mean, it is what best serves the customer and you know, gets you guys the best results. But I just want to say that, because I definitely appreciate the input, and I was kind of setting you up a little bit on that. So, Paul, what order do you guys do your, when the salespeople go out, typically, when do they do the plumbing assessment?
Generally in the middle. They're testing the water. They're discussing equipment. They're seeing what the customer picture is at that point in time. If they think that this is going in a great direction, it's like, okay, let's go take a peek at where we're going to get this piece of equipment installed. And taking the customer with them. In some instances, we're working with contractors. We're pretty much all set up. Customer's not even on site. some.
So that's interesting. That is very similar to the way Scott's doing it. I mean, in a way, I mean, basically what you're in some instances also it's kind of in the middle there. So it's before the close. Is that, I mean, that's right, Scott? That is that sounds like what you're describing is very similar. Things are going well.
Sure.
You're using
correct.
That plumbing assessment as a close. Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. So
how do you do it, Kelly, again?
How do I do it?
Yeah.
So I do the plumbing assessment first before I do anything. And I go, I mean, that's the first place I go is in the basement. I want to know before I start talking about equipment or making recommend. It's burnt me. I used to kind of do it the way you guys are talking about, but there were so many times that I would get burned because I'd test the water. Plus, what if they have equipment? Now, again, you're probably, you know, if you're down, you're probably walking through garages or you're seeing if they have equipment. But, I mean, I've asked customers, is there equipment in the home? They're like, I don't know. Or, no, we've never done anything. And I test the water and then I go downstairs and I see that they've got a, you know, either a filter that hasn't been changed in forever, or maybe they've got a water softener down there that, or, you know, some sort of piece of equipment that is going to make it to where I'm not getting an accurate water test. And so I just learned to do the plumbing assessment first and so that I could take a look so that I know where to get my sample, where I'm getting it directly from the well. You know, if it's city water, then you have a little bit better idea, but I want to know before I even start talking about price or, and I might have a full price, but I want to be able to have the value, you know, to take a look at it. So if I am down in a basement and I see drywalled ceilings down there and I talk about the reverse osmosis system, you know, I want to know that so that I can, you know, if it's an open basement, then I can do that. It, you know, where would you rather have the reverse osmosis, in the basement or in the or under the sink, you know? So I like to know what I'm running into, and then I can either include or add the cost associated with the challenges of installation as part of my cost. I like to give my customers a price, and then I don't like having to say, oh, that's going to be another $500. Oh, that's going to be another, you know, that tends to, you know, my comfort level has been to do the assessment first. I want to know whether it's possible or whether, you know, what types of issues I'm going to run into, before I start talking about the equipment.
So my guys, when they're setting their appointment, you know, they're getting the lead, they're calling, those questions are asked during that initial call before they even get to the house. So if they have to get down and to bypass a piece of equipment, you know, things are going to be bypassed or they're checking out a piece of equipment. You know, my guys are we call them field service advisors instead of salesmen because they all know how to tear something apart if they have to.
Right, right.
So we're 90% of the time we know what we're walking into if there's equipment in the home, if there's not equipment in the home. And if the customer doesn't know that, yeah, they're going to be looking at that first.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that we have room for things. And, you know, there's a lot of questions asked well before even being in the home.
Yeah. Yeah. They, you know, Scott, you on a little sidebar here, you said you made a comment on one of my Facebook posts the other day that is nice to put a face to the meow. I apologize for me that you guys could hear our little office cat. And I just wanted to acknowledge this is sideways. You want to see her. She plays fetch, but she's very much – She has an opinion of when to do a plumbing assessment, clearly. In fact, she has an opinion every time we do this call. Sorry.
And a question, Cal, when you do a site evaluation, and do you look for if they have a swimming pool? And do you discuss like hose bibs and things like that at your plumbing inspection?
So swimming pool, you know, we don't, it's Michigan. So there, you know, don't, swimming pools are not as common as they would be, say, in, I don't know, Alabama. I mean, certainly people have them, but it's not a, that's not this big, you know, that's not like a every home occurrence, you know, so, but outside lines for definitely outside lines are something that I feel like need to be discussed. And it's, see, that's another one of those things to add value. So you're going, you know, when you look at the, what I like to do, is, you know, I mean, it's the, so the doctor, you know, when you go to the doctor diagnoses, you know, they examine first and before they make any recommendations. So I sort of base it on that, but I do like, this is kind of comes from Tom Hopkins, you know, where you go down and you see that an outside line, you know, the way it's plumbed is everything would be run through the outside lines. And maybe there's one outside line that would be pretty easy to bypass. Yeah, we could make that hard. And, but instead of just saying, oh, we can make this one hard, you would say, do you want this outside line? You know, they, maybe the customer asks, so would my outside lines be soft? And then I would, the follow-up question, because the questions are always important, would be, would you like it to be soft or would you like us to bypass it? And if they go, well, can we have the one in the front soft and the back one hard? If I'm there, doing that, I said, is that the way you want it? Yeah, that's the way I want it. Okay, let me make a note of that. And I jot that down. And that now becomes a closing tool when it comes to, you know, when the customer at the end is starting to trying to beat me up on price and, you know, they want those discounts. Tell you what, why don't we make that out, that back outside line? We can bypass that for you at no, you know, we'll include that in the price of doing this. Now there's a value to it. So it gives me those, it, when I'm doing the plumbing assessment, it just gives me a ton of bullets that I can use during the close to avoid that, you know, all those price negotiations, if you will, because there is value associated with doing those things. Again, not a wrong or right. What's that?
We set them up with a smart system in case we can't bypass things.
Right.
You can bypass directly from your phone.
Correct. That's,
when
yeah,
watering,
well,
which is
woo-hoo-hoo, brilliant. Look at your fancy schmancy system.
Look at me being fancy like that.
Right. Exactly. They, you know, no, I, yes, that, I think that's coming too. You know, I mean, there are some manufacturers out there that have certainly are way ahead of the game on that. I'm so glad actually that we had this discussion because there are alternative ideas. These guys seriously are super good for me to have these. I hope that you're finding value in this too, but you know, it's so good to hear the other ways that we're doing it, you know, to sort of evaluate and self-evaluate and say, okay, does this make sense? What works? Maybe we can do a combination. One of the things that I think we can all agree on is the importance of doing a thorough plumbing assessment. Regardless of the order that you do it or when you do it, it's super important that when we're out there, we know plumbing types and you know, information so that we're not throwing our installers under the bus when they get there. They at least, I mean, you talked about pictures and you know, diagrams and drawings and all this stuff, videos and the things that we need so that your installers are not just walking in blind. I think we all agree with that, right, Scott? Are you in agreement the importance of doing it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Phew.
Yeah, throwing installers under the bus, you know, you're paying a salesman a lot of money, and then you're paying an installer, you know, $75 to work in a $1 million home. You better give me the information. You are the professional salesperson.
Yeah.
You are the professional, and you need to treat your team way better than it used to be. Back in the day, it was just go out and do it.
There's still companies that do that. Like I said, the salesperson just sells it, and you know, they just, it's like they completely just send the, I would burn out as an installer. That would, I would hate that, walking in blind every time and not knowing.
For another person on the team, in my opinion. You know, we're going down the path. It's like we are all part of the team, and it takes a lot of people behind you to support you. And if you want to make the money that you're making, you better be bringing me the information.
Yeah, yeah. Because your pictures and your site evaluation is your love letter to the installation department.
Oh, love it. Love it. That's a great way to end. That is awesome. Yeah. And show the love, man. That is, yeah. I love it. So, all right, guys, we are out of time. This kind of went by fast today. Next week, please mark your calendars. Come on. I always love these conversations. We will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Good hearing you guys. Bye.
All right. Bye.